So, thank you very much for being here today as I present on the perceived impact of the patient-centered medical home model on patient primary care experiences as derived from interview findings from leaders. Before I begin, I would like to present an outline of what I plan to go over today. So first, I would like to provide an overview of the demonstration project on which this research study is based. I will then explain the purpose of this demonstration project, followed by a discussion of the methodology and analysis part. Next, I will review the findings of the study, and I will conclude with implications for policy and future research. As we begin our overview of the demonstration project, we ask ourselves, what is a patient-centered medical home? A PCMH is a model of organizing primary care, emphasizing care coordination and communication, and it aims to transform primary care into what patients want it to be. A comprehensive PCMH involves delivery of coordinated whole person holistic care with an emphasis on clinician-patient relationship, team-based care, and also with the use of information technology in the management and delivery of care. As far as this demonstration project is concerned, it aims to assess the implementation of PCMH in primary care practice transformation, and it is a case study of a multi-site federally qualified health center in Los Angeles. This FQHC has 26 primary care sites, employing more than 100 providers, and it registers nearly 1 million patient visits annually. In 2012, they began their PCMH transformation, and as part of that transformation, they were using the clinician and group consumer assessment of healthcare providers and system surveys. It's also known as CGCAP surveys, and these surveys extract the patient perspective on care in order to improve care quality and also make it more patient-focused. The purpose of this demonstration was threefold. First, it was to document the approach taken with PCMH implementation and what common changes were made. Second, to assess how CAPS was used. And the RAND team that worked on this project has already published an article on the first research topic, and a second article has been submitted for publication to address the second research topic. And third, it aims to determine how clinical leaders perceive how PCMH will improve patient experience. And this is the focus on my particular study this summer. So our research question was, how do the practices' PCMH efforts impact the actual patient visit in primary care practices as perceived by clinic leaders, physicians, and clinical staff? With regards to methodology and data collection, RAND conducted 36 practice-level semi-structured interviews across 14 primary care sites, and the interviewees included 13 lead physicians, 13 site administrators, and 10 nursing supervisors. The interviews were conducted by phone between November and December 2014, and RAND also conducted follow-up calls in July and August of 2015. The analysis was conducted using RAND's theory, so we coded content of interviews for important themes. My contribution was to the development of the code list, so I helped define, verify, and reconcile the themes together with Denise and Zach from our team. And then we used the code list to map it to four types of survey questions. First, the CAPS core items. These are the 28 interview questions from the CGCAPS survey version 2.0. Then the CAPS PCMH items, the 18 questions from the PCMH item set. Next, the CAPS supplemental items. These are supplemental surveys that are recommended for use with the 2.0 version of CGCAPS. And then we also found, surprisingly, a lot of non-CAPS items. These are areas of patient experience that were mentioned by the respondents in this study, but they're not captured by any of the surveys listed above. Next, two researchers, one of whom was me, independently coded presence or absence of central themes, who calculated an inter-rater reliability of 0.90, and we created unique counts of codes per type of practice leader. And here we are reporting themes mentioned by more than half of participants in each practice leader role, so by medical director, nursing supervisor, and site clinic administrator. And we also identified overlaps of themes across types of practice leader. So, what did we find? Well, when we looked at the perceived PCMH influence on patient experience domains that were mapped to the CGCAP survey, across the three roles, there were two areas of patient experience that were discussed: answer to phone inquiry on the same day and access to routine care. There were two areas of experience that were mentioned by only two types of roles, medical director and nursing supervisor, and that's clerks and receptionists were helpful and clerks and receptionists were courteous and respectful. And finally, there were three types of patient experience mentioned by nursing supervisor and site clinic administrators. These were access to urgent care, provider communication that is easy to understand, and answer to phone inquiry as soon as needed. Now, I do have about a dozen very helpful quotes to support these findings, but for lack of time, I'm only including them for the record, and I will move on. So this next quote here, this captures the access to routine care and returning of phone calls on the same day. So these are just for the record. There were CGCAPS items that were mentioned by only one type of provider. For example, medical directors talked about the provider knowing patients' medical history. Nursing supervisors had three areas of experience they discussed: follow-up on test results, provider spends enough time, and the provider listens carefully. And site clinic administrators mentioned only two areas, and those were provider rating and continuity of provider. And again, I have a supporting quote, but I will have to move on. This quote captures the continuity of provider and spending enough time with the patient. When we looked at perceived PCMH influence on patient experience domains that were linked to the PCMH CAPS item set, we found across all three roles one area of patient experience, and that is care management in general. There was one aspect of care management, and that is care coordination, that was mentioned by only medical directors and site clinic administrators. And there were three areas of patient experience mentioned both by site clinic administrators and nursing supervisors. And those were better access to health education as part of care management, holistic care as part of care management, and discuss and manage medications clinically, so medication reconciliation, and for adherence, such as instructing patients on how to take their medications. And the next quote here illustrates holistic care, health education, and discussing medication with the patients, but I will move on. There were PCMH CAPS items, again, that were only mentioned by one type of provider. Medical directors didn't mention anything from this PCMH CAPS item set. The nursing supervisors did, hours of operation, convenience, and health management support as an aspect of care management. The site clinic administrators discussed shared decision-making. Next, we looked at the perceived PCMH impact on the experience domains and supplemental CAPS item sets. And here we found that no items were mentioned in common by medical directors, nursing supervisors, and site clinic administrators. However, nursing supervisors, more than half of them, mentioned more access to specialty services. After that, we investigated the perceived PCMH influence on patient experience domains that were not found in CAPS. And here, across all three roles, there were two areas of patient experience that were mentioned. Those were more services in one place, excluding specialty, and teamwork, front and back office. Team-based communication was mentioned by medical directors and nursing supervisors, and schedule follow-up appointments was mentioned by nursing supervisors and site clinic administrators. And there were two areas of experience that were mentioned only by site clinic administrators, and those were ER and inpatient follow-up and speed of referrals. Again, I have a supportive quote here that captures the team-based communication between Provatura, case managers, and pharmacists, and also more access to services in one place. I will move on. So when we discuss the implications for policy, we must remember that the findings from this study are not necessarily generalizable to other U.S. practices, nor are they generalizable to other federally qualified health centers, because there are a lot of unique characteristics to the setting of this study. So it is an urban area, multicultural urban area, the size of the clinics is very different, and also the corporate structure of the participating FQHC is very different from what we see elsewhere. Nonetheless, when we consider the study design and the specific characteristics of the participants, we will note that practice transformation holds potential for improved patient experience because, as we've seen from our example, care now focuses on individual patient goals and health needs. And also, the perceived impact varies by role. So that means that the closer one is to the change, the more detailed and practical-oriented their view is of the PCMH impact. So earlier, for example, we saw MDs talk very broadly about care management or care coordination, but the nursing supervisors and the site clinic administrators talk very specifically about holistic care, about health education for patients, and also about discussing medication with their patients and doing the reconciliation, the day-to-day nitty-gritty of their work. So it does matter who you talk to when you try to find out about the impact of PCMH on patient experience. And finally, there seem to be some important additional PCMH-specific patient experience domains that could be covered by CAPS supplemental items. For example, teamwork, more services in one place, or scheduled follow-up appointments. Regarding the implications for future research, we recommend continued research on the rationale behind the perceived influence of PCMH changes on the patient experience, so the hows and the whys. In this study, we're able to tell you that the perceived changes are about, for example, care coordination. But it is also important to understand how these primary care practices achieve care coordination. It could be through daily huddles or meetings with all the staff or extensive use of EMR. And also, it's important to know why they're trying to achieve these things. So is it because they want to speed up the patient flow from, which is also known as cycle time, from the time they arrive to the time they leave? So this is the next step in this research project. And secondly, there is ongoing research examining the relationship between interview data and patient experience survey scores. And in this sense, the RAND team that worked on this project has already submitted a paper for publication. It hasn't been admitted yet, but they're working on it. But there certainly needs to be ongoing research to evaluate sort of qualitative and findings with the results from the survey scores. So with this, I'm happy to take any questions you might have. Yes.
You did it on time too, right? Pretty much.
Yes.
You have 15 minutes.
For Q&A, yes.
No, for your
part. No, 12 minutes for the presentation. Yeah.
And 5 minutes for questions?
Okay. Yes, but because it's two persons in 1 hour slot, what ends up happening is 15 minutes for Q&A. Because there are so many things that we leave out that are then covered in a non-logical way during the Q&A. Yes.
When
do
patients
Not to my knowledge, no. And I have to preface the answers with the fact that I was brought in later on, so I wasn't there for the data collection. It was only after they completed the collection that I started working on this. But from what I was told, no patients were interviewed, so they're only using patient scores that were collected by each site. But again, I understand that we don't have a lot of information about the sampling frame. You know, more details about that.
That's a real good question because there's a lot of patient data. Mm-hmm. But it would be interesting to see what patients think about change on qualitative sensing.
Yes.
You could suggest that might be really useful in the future.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's why I mentioned earlier that there should be ongoing research about looking at the relationship between, and also interview patients and then compare their interviews with the actual scores on the surveys. Yep.
Could you describe a little more about the interviewing over the phone and that methodology versus, you know, typically done
face-to-face? Yeah, so that was something that I too was concerned, because I know when you read textbooks on qualitative analysis, that seems to be the golden rule of doing face-to-face so that you get rich data from the field. But from what I understand, phone interviews are pretty common at RAND, mostly because in the context of these research questions, the getting information about somebody's body language, for example, or other field-related information doesn't necessarily help answering that research question. So it is acceptable to do, for some of the projects, it is acceptable to do phone-based interviews.
Yeah. The other thing I want to say is, because they're, you know, providers, it's probably more accessible that way, and it
right.
would be hard to just sit around and wait on being
right.
available.
Right, right.
I wouldn't say exactly the same, but it depends that you're interviewing providers, so it would be different than going with person to person. But
yes.
with patients, I would think that it's more important to do person to person.
Yes.
But I was also going to ask, why weren't patients used included in this? And my last question is, how did you select, or who responded in the providers that decided to respond to the survey? Because you gave the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any kind of sampling there, or why the people who did it, or just the first ones to answer?
Well, first of all, so we interviewed only people at 14 sites, even though Altamed has 26 sites, and that's because these are the sites where they collected CGCAP's survey scores. And also, these are the sites that had primary care services. There are a few other sites that also offer HIV-specific care, so those weren't included. So that explains why we only looked at 14 out of 26. With regards to the selection, I think it was just a sample of convenience, if I understand it correctly. The participants were rewarded, so the clinic, the physicians received $100 compensation and everybody else $50. So I think it was just a sample of convenience. Yes.
And, do you have any information on sort of the duration of exposure to these image changes? I know from like working with Ultima, they tend to roll out, you know, clinic by clinic, so I'm just wondering, based on the 14 clinics I'd say you interviewed, were some exposed to these changes more than the others?
No, I think they all started in 2012. There might have been one or two that started in 2011, if I'm not mistaken, but all of them started at the same time. And I think the reason why that is because they had a change in leadership, and the person who came in was very determined to have a quality improvement project going on, and also to the PCMH.
But there is some variation in the sequence in which it's done, and then I mean, I know in this case it had something to do with they wanted to sort of try it out a little bit more in some places. They thought it would be more successful. We should at least recognize that. But they're not exactly all at the same time. And
okay.
the idea was that all of them are sort of undergoing this, but some are getting a little bit of a head start.
Yes, yeah, I know that the, each site had a lot of freedom in terms of how they implemented the PCMH. But my understanding was that all of them started in 2012, right, when they received that recognition.
Yeah, but there is some variation on what actually happens. And
okay,
the degree to which you're really, you know,
yes.
happening.
Oh, yeah, certainly, yeah. Yeah.
You said you recalled past studies. Why did you do that?
The follow-up was because at each site they interviewed three different person, so the site clinic administrator, the nursing supervisor, and the lead physicians, they wanted to make sure that all the information for a site was accurate. So after the initial phase of analysis was conducted, they made the follow-up calls to address any discrepancies in information, again, to get a sense of the timing of the changes, and to get more information to be able to create site profiles, so looking at what sort of staffing they have on site, if they have a pharmacist, if they have a clinical care coordinator, and also, as I said, to reconcile all the information with regards to the types of patients that they get. Yeah.
Can you go back to the beginning, because I think it might be helpful to go through them and see if anyone has them, because I saw specific things that you were talking about being reminded. But the other thing is, I wonder if other people agree, but I didn't like the way you went through those quotes, because I didn't have time to go, if you're going to put them up there, I want to be able to read it and think about it.
Right. Yeah,
I went through those so quickly, I think
that's... Well, I did say that they're in there for the record, but...
I know, but you don't want to put them up there, because it's just frustrating. So maybe you need to cut them down.
At least a three line.
Yeah.
That you think is particularly important, but a specific line that really highlights the essence of that book. I had the same
thing. I had the same thing. I was just saying afterwards, or you cut some, or you can read them. But I have the same thing. I wanted to read it and then go on.
Right. No, that's why I did preface by saying, because we're very constrained to 12 minutes.
I know.
Yeah, so you're still... If you're going to put them up there, people are going to want to see them.
Okay.
So just like maybe highlight a, like put in a different color line or something like that.
Okay.
If you highlight a nugget that you think is really important, mm-hmm. you're going to put them up there.
You probably want to cut down, though, because I know you have so little time, you probably just want to do half of that and then say a little more about them.
Okay, yeah. So did you want me to just go to
the
very
first slide? Well, yeah, even the very beginning, because like the question that Sylvia raised, that's the same thing, I think, on that slide where you said the number, 14 primary sites, and that's where you probably might want to mention what, to answer to her question.
Mm-hmm.
Where they weren't randomly selected and mm-hmm. so forth, that kind of thing.
So, yeah.
So, I don't know, if you want to go through, which one is that?
So this is the methods section, and then purpose of the demonstration.
Oh, okay, so one thing that came to mind, when you first say clinician group caps,
Somewhere, and then
later you start talking about PCMH and supplemental items.
Yeah.
So when you said, well, you don't have to go later. You right there in the one you were just mm-hmm. at. When you're at that point, I think you start to think, well, it's just clinician group caps. And I don't remember, you might have mentioned PCMH, but when you got to the PCMH items, people might start to wonder, what is that? So maybe if you didn't, I may have missed it, to say, you're not just, that's one of the things we're looking at, but you're also looking at this PCMI set.
Yes, yeah.
Because there's a whole PCMH survey, which CGCAPS is a subset.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So just to make that really clear at that point.
I think it's here. Okay. Yeah, so I just said that as part of their transformation, they used the clinician and group surveys.
So, how do you make the conclusion when the medical directors agree on the PCMH improve the patient appearance in terms of care coordination? Do you have a criteria? If 100% of medical directors agree on this point, then you say our medical directors agree on this idea that PCMH improve the patient experience, our 90% of medical directors agree on this, then you make this conclusion.
Well, the way we reported these is for each of the themes, we made sure that we only reported those that were mentioned by more than half of the directors. Yeah, so for medical directors, anything above 6 was included.
Did you say that?
Yes, I did. So when, let's see, in the method section, I do say that when we calculated the themes by type, we reported those themes that were mentioned by more than half of participants in each role.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we didn't put the actual number, the numbers. We have them in our study, but we just thought they would cloud the slide with numbers and themes and...
Yes, and I also find it very interesting if you stratify the 26 clinics to see whether the effect varies across different types of clinics.
No, we didn't do that here.
Yeah,
no, we didn't.
I think that would be very interesting. Maybe
it would be, yeah, and there, we did notice that there were certain, when we look, for instance, at care management, there were certain clinics where they only talked about, very basic paperwork stuff. Oh, at least I'm going to get all this patient paperwork to the physician before the physician meets with the patient. there were in other instances there was that, but then they were going above, so they were providing a holistic approach to care management. So it was the paperwork, but it was also knowing the patient's circumstances, if they needed transportation. In one case, they even mentioned food delivery. So there is variation, and the level of care management varies. Some of them do very basic stuff, and others, you know, are way ahead of other clinics. And
well, related to that whole thing, you're presenting the three types of respondents. The question is, what does it mean if they're agreeing? I mean, is it possible that the people that haven't mentioned it, if you ask them, they would have said, oh yeah, that's important. They just didn't think of it in the conversation, or what do people make of that?
As part of the next stage, we have begun to count the instances where a certain code or theme was mentioned, and whether that is mentioned as direct response to a question, to a specific question, or is mentioned without even having asked the question. So that's something that we're looking at right now.
But do you think it's possible, for example, when you left one of the columns off, that if you asked them directly, you said, you didn't mention this, the other two did, you know, you didn't know that necessarily, but you didn't mention this, is it not important? Or, I mean, to me, it seems like there's a good probability that it just was an omission. You know, it wasn't the most salient thing you were thinking of at the time, so you have to be careful in how you interpret, you know, where there's not overlap.
Right. I will consider amending that for the next. Right now, we've only looked at six interviews and did those counts in terms of what was questioned and what was answered. So we don't know, and we didn't notice any, you know, variation.
We may not even have the right data for it. Just sort of a limitation of their approach at all. Don't over, you know, people have a tendency to say, well, it's only important to that one in group besides administrators, and that's not necessarily the case.
Right. I'll have to think about it for the next edition of this presentation.
Interested, like, why you're presenting, like, the more common themes, those were six or more or whatever, over 50%. But I guess from, like, a qualitative research perspective, I am missing a little bit of the how and the why that you mentioned later.
Yeah.
At the end, which I think is probably captured in some of the quotations that you have.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be one of them. I don't know.
Well, the hows and the whys, that's the next step. Yeah. And so, again, we're going to go methodically through every interview, and just yesterday I finished an entire new coding list that looks just hows. You know, how is it that you do care coordination, holistic care? So we may or may not finish in time for the presentation on the 31st. But yeah, that's something that is important. That's why I mentioned it at the end in terms of implications for future research.
Another thing you said was continuity of care. And so people may not know what that means, and you know, it's kind of a really
it's
difficult.
Continuity of provider, I think, from CG caps.
I know, but I think you might need to say more about it, because it's really difficult. Like, we don't usually include that as a measure of patient experience, because what do you ask? When do you see the same provider every time you go? Is that good or bad necessarily? I mean, first of all, what, you know, is it good or bad? And then you could define it in different ways. So a little more about what that meant when they raised the issue.
Okay, yeah. So define some of the themes that provided the
definition. Well, there's some that are more complicated. That one always jumps out at me because I know how difficult it is. But even care coordination potentially, you know, sort of what do you really mean by that?
Okay.
Or what did they mean when they brought it up? And
okay.
Not a lot because you don't have time with any of that. But or just be prepared. But people may not, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have a last suggestion. I know that you're super, you have a very, very short time period for a lot of great information. It's a really great presentation. But given that several of us wanted to read more the quotes, and I also listed out that more than 50% needed to respond the same quote to, I also missed that. And that you might want to maybe delete, I don't know what, but to try to say less.
So reduce the breadth and go more in depth on certain things.
Maybe, I don't know, because I would have to go. You know it better, and you know the time you have.
Right.
But it seems that there are important pieces that some of us missed.
Right, okay.
So we might want to consider those in very good shape. We'll say yes, we've got some information.
Okay. You remind me, you said 0.90 reliability, I think, between two coders.
Yeah.
Was that Kappa or whatever? You might say whatever this
is. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Was that the people who were saying that?
It seems to me that the rigid 12-minute time slot then reduces your opportunity to be comprehensive, which then encourages a question and answer, which is less structured. It would be better to have more time, which you can make a more thorough presentation.
Yeah.
This was a very thorough presentation, but the time slot is really hog time. So people are asking you effectively to defy the law of physics.
and that's a lot more in
less time.
I have attended other presentations some of our associates have delivered, and they've had the same issues. They've had 12 minutes where they left a lot of stuff out, not because they're ignorant or they don't consider that their audience could benefit from that because they were tight, and then what followed was 15 to 20 minutes. Sometimes they stayed over just to answer more and more questions.
I mean, my understanding of the way you structure the presentation and its availability is that it is available for people to look at.
Yes.
Therefore, on balance, the decision to have the quotes in, and I agree with other people say it's to have to whiz over them and not have an opportunity to look at them.
Yeah.
Is an issue, but equally, by putting them in it, they are part of the presentation, so somebody can reference back to that and it is actually there.
Yeah, so the PowerPoints will be available ahead of time to all the participants. They'll be available 2 or 3 days ahead of time, and they'll be able to look at it. I know some people will call in from other offices, so they will have the PowerPoint in front of them, so if they want to linger over quotes.
Maybe you could, within PowerPoint, so you can the keynote add notes to each slide, and those can be made available as a PDF. So if you have, if for example, you have quotes supporting these things and ancillary information, then that could go into those notes, so somebody can watch the presentation and then have the notes.
Yeah.
I think it's a weakness of the system that it demands a Q&A to follow up on things which you haven't been able to get into the presentation.
In the first place, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the logic of that, but you're stuck with it.
People would have also appreciated a little more interpretation, maybe at the end if possible, in terms of some of the themes that were presented. Were they what you expected? Maybe the more concrete things like team models or something were easier to implement and therefore saw, you know, good changes versus, I don't know, other provider communication aspects more difficult to, you know, implement.
Yeah, again, we have a lot of those discussions.
Yeah.
It's just I don't have enough time, so yeah.
It's super short.
Yes, I know. I know. I mean,
it's odd to have more time for Q&A than for the presentation.
So, yeah.
Well, they're just trying to cram a lot of people there. They probably love to have more time, but it's not that.
Yeah, they just changed that this year. Yeah.
So, but the one thing is the policy part was a little hard to really relate back to the presentation at some points. So, I don't know if you can go to that now or just think about it again later, but sometimes I was kind of wondering, is that really what the data were showing, or how are you drawing those entrances? And
right, in terms of the benefits of PCMA transformation on patient experience.
Yeah, and then at the end, the bottom line, what is this?
Oh, mean? The candidates, right. Well, because they're using the CAP surveys as part of the PCMH transformation to evaluate if they're achieving their goals, if the people who actually are involved with the transformation process notice areas of improvement that aren't captured by the surveys that are used to document that area, then it is important to have, you know, new items.
Well, that's everything. Is that just what was the point of this whole exercise? Because it sounded a little different, but it's really focused on survey items. It's almost like, is the survey covering all the things that you want to cover?
Yeah.
If you're trying to provide it, just it doesn't necessarily sound that way to me at the beginning. That's not until you get into it, then you go, oh yeah, that's what's happening here.
Yes. Yeah. That's. So maybe it's not captured that well by the. By the research question. It was just an added sort of form of analysis that Yeah, normally I would make this a 40-minute presentation, and which I'm going to have again. And
you just went over to that for the first one, an invocation or whatever it was. That very first bullet is holds potential. Why would we necessarily conclude that unless you tell us? Why would that even be the case here, the first one?
Well, because all the areas that of patient experience that we discussed, those are as perceived by the... So the question in the interview was, if a patient were to walk into your health center right now, what are some of the changes they would notice because of your PCMH transformation? So here they would say, well, they'll notice that they get more services in one place and that, you know, we're more polite and we communicate with them and we care about them.
I guess what's the converse? Someone would say nothing about patient experience and you say, well, it doesn't have potential. I mean, it's almost like that to me is a throwaway bullet, right? Like anything. So I'm just kind of.
Okay. So you think it's not something to take that out?
Well, that's maybe just me. But some of those I was having a little trouble coming out and relate exactly back to these data. It makes sense in general.
I think if I had the quotes, so you can actually see how these leaders spoke about how much they felt patients benefited. And sometimes they referenced what they hear from patients. You know, patients do tell us that, you know, we're happier, we care about them, and they get more access to our services.
Okay, so maybe just emphasizing it a little more. And when you say TAP supplemental items here, I think people are going to have no idea. I don't know if you can have a list or a little more about what that is, because it's such a high bunch of possibilities.
Yes. It's got cultural competence.
I don't know if you need to say that or it's just supplemental items. Items that go beyond the core and the PCMH specific.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You talked a little about the potential bias in the people who responded to the questionnaires, but you don't want only the ones that are more involved in this responding, and then who knows how many are left out.
Right. You mean the patients?
No.
Yes. So as I said, this was a sample of convenience,
right.
So we don't really know.
Exactly.
You could look up how many... out of how many possibly do an interview, just to say, you know, this is 25% of all providers. Or whatever.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Put it into context.
Yeah.
Well, it's drying out. The questions.
Do you have a good handle on the audience that you're going to present this to a brand? And do you know what you can... Because obviously if you're going to insert things into this, you've got to take something out because you're on time. So the balance is there. The timing is right. Do you have a good handle on the audience? Do you know what you can presume that they already know?
I think there will be a mix. So there will be researchers who've worked on CAPS for many, many years. So in that sense, a lot of the things that I'm spending time explaining, such as PCMH and the types of CAP surveys, will be wasted on them. But then there are other people from other disciplines that might find this interesting, so they might show up. So I think that information needs to be there. I cannot assume that it's going to be all an audience of experts. So there will be a mix, and I think this needs to address both experts and people who haven't worked on CAPS before. And I have spoken with a lot of researchers at RAND, engineers, people who work on defense, and they had absolutely no idea what I was talking about, so I had to go back and explain. So if any of those show up, then, you know, I think it justifies having a lot of this background information.
And counting in for what you made.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think the feedback can be very helpful.
And certainly,
incorporate, fortunately, since you did the survey announcement.
Yes, yeah, that's the whole point. Every day I live by this motto, proper preparation prevents poor performance. It's the way to do it.
Thank you.
I appreciate your feedback. It's going to be very helpful.